2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
Okay, everybody, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, thanks for hanging out with us. Coming up in just a little while, we've got our two-minute drill next segment, and I do want to bring up the NFL face shields. We'll talk about where they've how far they've come with this amazing technology of putting something in front of the face of an NFL player. There's no stinking way these guys want to wear that thing, but we'll get to that in just a moment. In the meantime, Scott, the NBA bubble has gotten interesting now that they've – so you have 322 players, and they got to the bubble. What, the Jazz got there last Tuesday or Wednesday, right? So they've been there almost a week. And 322 players have been doing testing every so often, and two players have tested positive since being at the bubble. What we did find out also was before all this, Russell Westbrook of the Houston Rockets tested positive before the team left for Orlando, and he'll be joining the team at some point in the next little while. Now, I don't know how long that means that he's how long ago he tested positive, how long he's been quarantining. I mean, if he had it before he left, then he could potentially be back in the next couple of days. Or, you know, less than a week or so away if he tested before they left. When the superstars start testing positive, that freaks me out a little bit. I'm already freaked out about the college football season.
None of this freaks me out.
Why? There's just no way they're going to be.
You want to know why? Because
they get it right now, it's not a problem. But they're in the middle of this fake season and these fake playoffs, then and these guys start getting sick for real. They're going to start canceling stuff.
Well, no, they'll just have to sit out, and that's just the way it is. I don't see them canceling this, and I'll tell you why.
Playing with a bunch of scabs? No, LeBron is going to be a real problem for the league if that happens.
It is what it is. But people aren't going to go, well, you know, they just say, look, it's an unusual year. It continues to get unusual. We've probably not seen the end of unusual. I mean, we're only in, you know, halfway through the year. So I'm sure there's more things that are gonna unfold. These players are all young. The likelihood of something significant happening to any of these players is probably very low. So okay, Westbrook gets he gets test positive, and I look at it more like more of them will be along the lines of Donovan Mitchell. I mean, I'd hate to be Rudy Gobert and just not be able to have any taste. That, to me, I think would be the most cruel and unusual punishment you could ever have.
smell or taste anything.
Yeah, that would just, for me, but aside from that, I mean, it's not like his long-term health, as we know it, probably is not impacted by this. So these players, great. They get tested. Some of them are positive. They'll get over it. A lot of them, it won't be that big of a deal. And so I don't see that event being something that just really changes and alters their plan to finish out the season for the NBA. You know, if all of a sudden a large quantity of players from a team, they all go down and they all get really sick and they all end up in the hospital on respirators, yeah, then you have a really serious thing. These people are all quarantined. I mean, even if they all got sick, it'd be like, okay, fine, you're all sick and you're all there and you just stay there and you get over it, you know, even if you don't have a season. So the NBA playing in a bubble to me and finishing out their season, I'm not sure any part of it's going to be something that's going to be earth-shattering if some of these players actually test positive.
I just wonder at what point the NBA is going to start looking bad. Like, where people are going to go, hey, man, you shouldn't have done this. You shouldn't have just rushed this. Because that's the risk, right? That's the risk that all these schools are taking. In the college football side of things, from the pro side, we look at it and we go, well, these guys are professional athletes, and they get paid a lot of money. We love watching their we like watching their product, right? That's the way we think about it. We think about it like an entertainment product. From the college side of things, we have to do that totally differently, because now, as we start to look at how college football is going to handle coming back, quote unquote coming back. We've already canceled a ton of non-conference games, and the reality is, Scott, I don't know how we can feel good about going forward with regular games if we've canceled non-conference games at this rate.
I don't think the NBA is going to look bad. And I don't think they're going to look bad because, if you look at golf, golf's come back and it's done well.
Right.
It hasn't, but it's a sport where it's relatively easy to social distance. Baseball, I don't see a big issue with baseball either, because I just don't see a lot of contact where, you know, maybe the baseball and that multiple people handle it and touch it. Maybe there's some contact there, but for the most part, you know, baseball can social distance. Basketball is the same way, and you know why it's the same way? Because nobody plays defense. Right, so it's not like you're going to see hard fouls. You're going to see guys taking charges. You're going to see up in your face, kind of tight defense for most of these players. It's going to be somewhere with a little bit more intensity of the All-Star game. Like I don't see guys just really getting after it and then just going, yeah, I want to rub sweat with the guy on the other team here because I don't want to get infected. And so basketball. Professional basketball is not, I think, is going to be less impacted. But I'll tell you the one that I'm really curious to see what happens is football. College football and the NFL. Are these sports, because there is real contact, and there's real contact with like almost 22 players on every single play, there's close contact. And what kind of impact is that going to have, and is it going to increase the rates of these players getting injured? And if it does, then maybe that's the sport everyone goes. The one we love the most is probably the one we're going to get to see the least, because it just has the highest probability of having someone to get infected. And I'm not a doctor. I'm just speculating. I'm just spitballing here. I don't know. I don't know. But just my common sense tells me, because there's more physical contact, there's probably more likelihood of something happening.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what Dr. Fauci said, too. He's like, football's a different thing. We're talking about something we are. I mean, this is just – and basketball is kind of that way, too. I think about how closely these guys are on top of each other, you know. And here's how some of the Jazz have described some of their time inside the bubble. You ready for this? Donovan Mitchell said, honestly, to me, it's like AAU, really, except for the quarantine part. But it's been like AAU. I've just been relaxing, studying film, and just making sure to try to eat as well as I can as far as nutrition, because there's a temptation to have some snacks for sure. Here's what Joe Ingles said. The first 48 hours sucked. But I don't know if
shocking from Joe Ingles.
But I don't know if you've ever been locked in a room with no window before. I can't open my window. I don't think anyone can. When you're in a room for a couple of hours, it's going to get a bit stanky at times, I think. So it's tough when you come from 48 hours before this. I was just at my house with my family, with my kids running around, doing that kind of same normal life. The lockdown stuff, this is going to be...
Joe Ingles sounds spoiled. I mean, come on. Like, most people aren't going to get an opportunity to go and be in a bubble and actually have an opportunity to play. It's like, come on.
It's just a weird situation because they're locked in there.
Embrace
it. They can't talk to their buddies.
Embrace it. Just embrace it. Have fun with it and just say, this is unusual.
What a wild time. I mean,
yeah, it's just like, but to, you know.
Skype your friends.
I can't open my window. And it's like, I'm
going to
go crazy.
When was the last time you went to a hotel and you were opening your window unless you had an actual balcony or something?
Now, the part that I think could be a challenge is the snack part.
Yeah, the bad food.
Yeah.
Or just being able to get the snacks all the time.
I mean, you're talking about COVID-19.
They're
these
at
guys.
Disney, Scott. Do you think they get the character breakfast, like, in the morning? Mickey shows up?
So initially we understood they didn't, but once they've settled in, I'm telling you, I believe they can have the best of the best.
And oh, it is, for sure.
It is.
And it is good.
It is amazing.
But right now, the first
Mickey couple Mouse of weeks here, are ice be cream? Come on. Can't get better than that.
We're taking the break here. We'll come back. We've got our two-minute drill next. We'll wrap things up right here on KSL's Unrivaled. Stay with us.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.